Hello, dear listener. You are tuned in to Beginnings, a podcast of book readings written and read by Cecily Riley. Episode 9, Snow. I was trudging through the snow for what felt like hours. Every new alley, every new cluster of tombstones made me think I was nearing an exit. Any exit. Any means of escape, but the paths just kept spreading in every direction. It had snowed non-stop since yesterday. I was plowing on in my absurdly big boots in a white hell. What had possessed me to visit my grandfather's grave on his birthday? He didn't care. Whether there was an afterlife or there wasn't, he didn't care. I hadn't known him well, but whatever his favorite hobby had been, he was probably doing that, not giving a second thought to his grandson and his pointless journey through the snow. Or maybe there wasn't anything, and he cared even less. I decided to stop and get my bearings. These 100-year-old pine trees, with their branches touching the ground under the white blanket of snow, were like an army of giant trolls, with large heads and broad shoulders. I didn't know whether I was more afraid to fall into a fresh dug grave I had overlooked, or be whisked away by the fantastical creatures surrounding me. I was panting, and the hot breath made my glasses fog over. I looked in every direction. I couldn't even use my GPS. The cloud cover and numerous trees were cutting off the signal. I surmised that if I kept walking straight, I had to end up finding the cemetery's outer limit. Then I could follow that fence to one of the guards' houses. But how long would that take? The going was slow, and darkness came early this time of year. I then tried listening for any sign of human activity. Maybe someone was getting buried today, and I could just join the mourners. But the silence grew deeper the longer I listened. I stood perfectly motionless in my dark blue coat, damp jeans, and snowplow boots. I had had to take off my beanie, as I was really hot. I had caught my breath and silently exhaled through my nose. Nothing. Just nothing. How could that be? I was following a path a gardener's electrical vehicle had made. Those people had to be somewhere. Admittedly, I saw only my footsteps, but there had to be a way. I did all I could not to give way to panic, but I did start to feel a little jittery. Just before I was overwhelmed, I put my beanie back on and took a step. That's when I heard it. The crackling of a fire. I smelt the wood burning. I couldn't be sure, but I thought I even heard children laughing. Whoever it was, they might know how to get out of here. They definitely had a warm fire. Unable to run, I plodded along as fast as I could, following my ears and nose to where the fire was glowing. Soon I even saw the ash billowing between the sizable trees towards the white cloudy sky. In spite of my best efforts, it felt like forever until I cleared a path around the last underbrush that was blocking my view. For a moment, I thought hunger, thirst, and hypothermia were getting to me. The scene unfolding in the little clearing was so surreal that I had to blink a few times to make sure that I saw what I was seeing. The more I looked, the more it made sense. It was still very strange, but all could be explained rationally. I took a few more steps to get closer to the fire in the center of the clearing. The little man, dressed all in black, with a felt hat and an enormous coat, was standing between me and the fire. He turned to watch me. His face was almost perfectly round and joyously pink in color. He grinned briefly and turned back to his business. His gestures were quick and nervous. but he didn't hurry on my account. He seemed possessed or very happy about what he was doing. He had all but forgotten I was there within a moment. When I was close enough, I saw that he had two wheelbarrows full of small discarded Christmas trees. Some of them were still green, but most of them were brown and missing most of their needles. Every so often, he would grab one with his strong but pudgy hands and throw them into the fire. As the flames hissed, engulfing the pine sap, the little man in black giggled like a child at the fairground. I was a bit rattled by the scene, but it had to make sense somehow. "Hello," I said softly, as if speaking to a wild animal I was trying to help. "Hello, hello," the man said as he turned to the wheelbarrow and grabbed the next dead tree. "Who are you?" I asked, not knowing which to pick among the dozens of questions I had for him. "I am the undertaker, of course," he said, looking at me as if I was dense. "I would never let a visitor light a fire here." "No, of course," I stammered, amazed by how matter-of-fact this fairy tale creature was speaking to me. "What are you doing out here?" he said, still doubting my sanity by the sound of his question. "I was visiting my grandfather's grave." "Oh, that's nice," he said, giving me a warm smile, as if it was perfectly normal to roam the alleyways of a cemetery under 2 feet of snow. "And you, what are you doing?" I asked as nicely as I could. "My favorite thing in the world," he said, holding his two hands together and shaking them towards me as he grinned from ear to ear. "Every year, a lot of bereaved want to celebrate Christmas with their dead loved ones, for a while anyway," he added thoughtfully as he threw another mini tree on the fire and giggled once more. "For the new year, they put the trees in the wastebasket and wait for spring to plant daffodils and tulips. What I do is collect the trees from the trash, even sometimes from the graves, if they're still there after Twelfth Night, and I come here and I make a big fire, so that wherever the souls of the dead have gone to, some golden sparks fly up to them and let them know that someone down here still thinks of them and loves them."